Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are. Of course, we're at 5,280 feet, mile high altitude, where we encourage you to be in June of 2021. And everyone's looking forward to 2020, leaving behind 2020. As you can see, we are recording this during 2020 as our special esteemed, handsome guests, Dr. Jack Bourla is wearing a mask to protect everyone who is watching at this current time. And as you know, Dr. Jack Bourla almost needs no chiropractic introduction, though he may need introduction in other circles. In chiropractic, he may not. He's the current president of the IFCO. He's a graduate of Palmer West and really an all-around great guy and an ACP graduate, I think is the proper term, or certificate holder, and really just one of my favorite people in chiropractic. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, Dr. Jack, and hopefully we can hear you through that. I don't know if you'll be muffled, but we're glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Dan. You know, I was on a private call this morning with Matt McCoy, and he suggested very strongly that I wear a mask to protect you through this ether, and so I'm going to do that. But since I can't breathe, I'm going to take it off. Now you can see my handsome face, which is really awesome.
And my understanding is Matthew McCoy is wearing a mask everywhere.
He wears a mask. He wears double mask. He actually wears one in the back of his head, too, because he wants to make sure he's being protected on all sides. He's
yes,
awesome.
I understand. I understand. So, and thank you for taking your valuable time to join us today. I think a good starting place is to have people that don't know you get to know you, and the people that already know you get to know you a little bit better. Can you share a little bit about how you got into chiropractic?
Sure. You know, we hear about these miracle stories, things that happen without any explanation. And I kind of had a miracle story. When I was married to my first wife, one morning, it was a New Year's Day. She woke up after having had our New Year's Eve together, and she woke up and she was unable to move her legs. And we thought, well, that's weird. And so, you know, I did what anybody at that time did. This is way back in the 70s. I put her in the car and took her to the emergency room, and we were admitted to the emergency room where the medical doctors examined her and they medicated her and they injected her. And by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was no difference. And they said, well, that's the best we can do for now. Let's let time take its toll and see what happens. And, you know, check in with your primary doctor whenever the next day. And so I put her back in the car and we went home, and there was, you know, we were very discouraged and that nothing had changed despite, you know, the imaging that took place and the medications and the injections. And so it was New Year's Day. And so I was, you know, making my New Year's Day calls to my friends, and I happened to talk to a friend of mine and told him what happened. He says, well, why don't you call my chiropractor? And I, at that time, I'd never been to a chiropractor. And I said, well, what is a chiropractor going to do that, the medics couldn't do? I mean, they had all the modern technology. He says, just try it. I said, well, it's New Year's Day. He says, call him anyway. I said, but it's New Year's Day. He says, call him anyway. So I called him, and the guy answered his phone. So the first thing I thought, he's a wacko, because who answers their phone on New Year's Day? I could hear kids in the background. And I introduced myself, and I told him what my situation was. And he said, oh, he says, I'm really sorry to hear that. He says, why don't you meet me at 5:30 at my office, and we'll see what we can do. I said, tomorrow? He says, no, today. I said, but it's New Year's Day. And he said, I don't take a day off when someone needs my help. And that struck me as like pretty interesting. Nonetheless, I put my wife back in the car, took her to this doctor, Dr. Cal Fian, who was a chiropractor in San Carlos, California. And he met us there, and he greeted us, and he was just friendly and very informative. And he told us what he was going to do, what he was going to look for. He was going to take his own x-rays. And so I actually had to hold my late wife, my ex-wife up. And so he took the x-rays and he said, this and this is that. He did some testing and checked her nerves and reflexes, all the things that he would normally do as for a new patient. And he said, this is what we're going to do. And he did it. And I'd never seen it done before, but, you know, he did the thing and he adjusted her, and we walked out of there.
Wow.
And I thought, holy smokes, if she could, if she could benefit from something like that with a condition, I wanted to go. And so I became one of his patients. And so we went every Friday for years and years and years until he passed away. And then we found another chiropractor. But we understood what it was that he was doing. And he wasn't going to cure her paralysis. What he was going to do is he was going to check her nervous system for optimum function. And that's what he said. He said, I'm not going to diagnose. I'm going to look for what I look for as a specialist. And his specialty was the analysis of vertebral subluxation and then assisting the body to correct it. And he did it. And it's exactly what he did. And that stuck in the back of my mind for many, many years. Because I had a number of careers before I became a chiropractor. I taught for a couple of years at San Francisco State University. I taught human anatomy, human physiology, and human sexuality. I was a family planning counselor for a number of years. I ran the Stanford University Blood Center. I was in biotech for 10 years. I owned and operated three restaurants for 5 years. When I decided I didn't want to do that anymore, I thought I need to have a career. And as you know, as a Jewish boy, growing up, you really only have a choice between two careers. You either become an attorney or become a doctor. And I didn't want to be an attorney because I don't want to argue with people all day long. And so I had always been intrigued with the function of the human body. And I'll never forget, Danny, it was 1967. I remember this as if it was yesterday, although it was many, many yesterdays ago for me. But my father and I had a routine, and the routine was every morning we would have coffee and breakfast together. And we'd read the newspaper. Newspapers are pieces of paper that get printed on that we don't see anymore. But newspaper. And so there was different sections. So he would take a section and hand me a section, and we read sections. And then he would quiz me on the section that I read. And I remember 1967, I read an article about a man in South Africa who received the first successful heart transplant. The doctor was Dr. Christian Bernard. He performed this operation. It was the first time that was successfully done on human beings. And the guy survived. And that struck me as, how can you take an organ out of someone else's body, put it in another person's body? And of course, you either manipulate a little bit of the physiology with some medication for anti-rejection, but nonetheless, have that organ function. What is allowing that to happen? I was really intrigued by how smart the body really was. And that was in 1967 when I was 12 years old. And so I had in the back of my mind that maybe one day I'll become a doctor of some kind. And then life happens to us, and I got married really early, and so medical school is never a possibility. But I always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to be a primary health care provider. I wanted to be someone who people could come to, and I, well-trained, would be able to take care of them in whatever manner that might be, not knowing that many, many years later would be chiropractic. That's my story. That's how I got
into it. I want people to hear something important out of that, and there were lots of important things. However, there's something important that I'd like to highlight for listeners and viewers, however they're watching it, which is this. When someone asks you to do something that maybe you don't necessarily want to do, like go see someone on New Year's Day, right? It may not be your first choice.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I heard Tony Robbins tell this story. Or it might have been actually someone else, and said that in the audience was, he was doing a presentation with someone else, and that of the people in the audience, one person was Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Right. And it was whoever was Tony's mentor, and I can't remember who it was at this point. But like, you speak as you don't know who in the audience is going to contribute bigger ahead of you or do something more for someone else. Right. So like sometimes when you're faced with a decision, like someone asking for help, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to do it. You don't know who that other person is or what more they're going to do or how it's going to be passed on. You know, so it's like when you stop thinking about yourself, or like, oh, it's New Year's Day. Because I have that same thing, and you probably do at times, right? Of like, I don't know if I really want to do this. But when you stop and realize that there's something more here, and there's something else divinely guiding or coordinating, that there's a reason why this person is calling me on Christmas Day and wants to get their spine checked. And maybe, just maybe, this person's going to have more impact, like, for example, you've had in the chiropractic profession, and as well as obviously, you know, the health of the person that we're talking about, your former wife, right?
Yeah. And that's interesting, Danny, because I've lived my life with this idea, and that is, you never know when you might be entertaining an angel. You just never know. And so that's been with me for a long time. And then more recently, one of my favorite quotes in the whole world is a quote by Timothy Leary. And I've said this many times. And if I've said it to you many times, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it again. And that is, and I'll tell you the story of how I got to this, but there's a quote by Timothy Leary that says, everyone carries a piece of the puzzle. No one comes into your life by mere coincidence. Trust your instincts. Do the unexpected. Find the others. And it's those last three words that have really intrigued me about finding the others. You know, we're constantly in search. We're constantly being put in the presence of other people. And I believe that there are no chance encounters. And I think that when I called this chiropractor and explained to him my story, he could have said, fine, I'll see you tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever fit the schedule. But no, he took that opportunity right. to do something for us, which subsequently has changed my life and the lives of thousands of people that I've been fortunate enough to come in contact with through the chiropractic profession.
Well, and the same thing. And again, I want the listeners to gain from this is that, and who they may impact. And like, you know, one of the things I love about Mile High is how it brings people together that may not have been connected by the same values right. And principles and other team members and helps uplift them. You know, yes, totally. I love the speakers, but I love the connection of everybody even more. Right.
That's right.
And I think as chiropractors, you need that. Like my own experience, my mom took me and similarly. And of course, I was going to bring it back to me. Just I want to put every all the focus on me.
I was waiting. I was just waiting for when that was going to happen than I thought. But go ahead.
But you know, my mom was thinking of going back into a health profession and she was taking prereqs, but she didn't know what for. So what?
Is your mom's name? Isn't your mom's name Jackie?
Yes. Yes. So there you go.
And yes. Okay. I want to bring it back to me for a second, but go ahead.
Well, everybody yes. in our, everybody in my family, there was a obsession with the name Jack because my grandmother, they all married people yes. named Jack and because there was someone in our family that, and so they passed the name Jack was passed along. So that's why you're in my life. But here's the deal. But she was going to go back into her health profession, but she didn't know what. And she was studying these prereqs and someone, you know, and I was having health challenges and someone said, take this kid to a chiropractor. And she said, I don't know why I would do that. It's not his back, right? Which would be the typical thing. But she took him, she contacted a chiropractor and said, my son's having these health challenges, to make a long story short. Could you check him for free? Because I don't have any money. She was a single mom. And he said, yes. Right. And if he hadn't said yes, you know, she wouldn't have met Donnie Epstein. Right. I would not have done the things that I've done in chiropractic, the tragic chiropractic. And we wouldn't be having this conversation today. And that quote that you said is like, things don't happen. There's not accidents. There's on purposes. You just don't know whose purpose and why.
Yeah.
But it's an important thing when you're taking care of people.
Yeah. It's you know, Sean. Yeah. It's interesting. Sean Dill, who, you know, is a dear friend of both of ours. Sean Dill has said a lot of things, but one of the things he talks about is the sacrifice that others have made for us to be where we are today and how the universe conspires for us to be exactly where we're supposed to be with the talents that we have, on purpose that we have, and desire to help others. And as you mentioned earlier about connection, if you're not connecting, if you're not in a relationship with people, then what the hell are you doing? You know, we're not supposed to live like islands, although sometimes we'd like to, but you know, we're supposed to be in relation. And unfortunately, you know, this quote unquote pandemic, is taking that away from us. It's taking away that connectivity. And that scares me. It scares me, especially for the kids, because as you know, the reason we have relationships is because our primitive brain upon nanoseconds of meeting one another is making decisions for us. Either this is a friend or a foe. And that's based on our facial expressions and how we read and respond to each other. The second thing, by the way, that our primitive brain is thinking within nanoseconds of meeting somebody is this a potential sexual partner. And my brain said no to you. I'm sorry. It's just how it works. But you know, the primitive brain wants to propagate. So the first thing that says, is this a friend or foe? The second thing is this a sexual partner? And then our more educated brain begins to look for validations of whatever our decision was. When we start to take away these facial expressions like our kids are having, who don't have life experiences like you and I have, they're not getting those social cues anymore. And that scares me as to what is this next generation or this newest generation going to be like, where they're not getting the brain development for social behavior that you and I were afforded.
Right. Absolutely.
So this connectivity is an important, it is what makes us who we are, you know, who we connect to, who we resonate with. Those are important things, and the decisions that we make in life are based upon the desire for connectivity. And that's what chiropractors do, right? We connect us and the people that we're blessed to serve with their creator, with their potential. And it's because of the work that we do that I think we enhance the way a society actually behaves.
Right. And I think when you're talking about a health profession, and health, different health professions have different focuses, right? And when you're talking about a health profession where some of the values, principles of their focus are communication and connection and community. Those are key things relative to healing that, you know, the community of a person's body, the connection with a person's body, the communication. Those are key things that are fundamental to chiropractic as a profession. When you see what's going on in 2020, all those things are being challenged. You know, not necessarily from a vertebral subluxation point of view, but just the healing as a principle point of view, and our foundational principles that lead us to valuing the integrity of the spine and subluxation.
Correct.
Right. Right. So now with that, since then, you have been around lots of people that have impacted your life as a chiropractor that led you to where you are right now, that cross paths with or cross souls with. Who are some people that were the greatest mentors to you?
First and foremost, my father. My father instilled in me certain principles, one of which is I can do anything I put my mind to. And he taught me the appreciation of life and the beauty of life. When we used to go for walks, he would say to us, my sister and I, we'd stop me. He'd look at a tree and he'd say, "What do you see?" And we'd say, "We a tree with leaves." He says, "What else do you see?" And we'd say, "Twigs." And what he really wanted us to say is the colors. Look at the colors, the unique colors of every leaf, the beauty and the magnificence of that creation. And he wanted us to be aware of life. And so he instilled in me this real appreciation for life. So my dad, first and foremost, was and remains my biggest mentor. His voice is always in the back of my head. But I've been in chiropractic. The people that I look back on and say, you know, who directed me, people like Eric Plasker, Brian Kelly, Liam Schubel, Sean Dill, you and Rochelle, Bill Deccan to a huge extent, Brian Dooley, but let's not mention Dooley's name on this podcast. We can maybe blank that out if we can. Monique Andrews and Tamara McIntyre, two of my favorite people on the planet. They lent me some of their tools that have assisted me. Amy Haas with her brilliant scientific brain. Amy Spolstra. Amy Spolstra is one of my favorite people ever. She, I think, is a genius in chiropractic. She's doing some absolutely wonderful things with brain development, and I appreciate her so much for that. There's so many people. So many people. Joel Kinch, you know, one of your MCs at Mile. Joel Kinch and I went to school at Palmer West. He was a little bit ahead of me. But we every Friday had lunch together once we graduated, and we would talk about stuff. And he inspired in me this desire to know more about the philosophy, because the truth was that at school we weren't taught a lot about the philosophy. But Joel went off and got his LCP, and I think he's gone even further than that lately. But Joel has an ability to be so well grounded in our principles. Let's not mention his name either. Other mentors, the Delta Sigma Chi fraternity, of which I'm a proud member. The team of, you know, it's a group of guys that hold to the principle, and they inspire me and they challenge me. And I appreciate that with, Ankur Tayal and Skylar Gemmer. There's so many. I mean, Jay Komarek's another one. Jay Komarek, just listening to him speak inspires me, and challenges me. And I don't know if you know this, but Jay and I are both, children of Algerian descendants. His parents and my parents, unbeknownst to them and to us, actually grew up in the same small town in Algeria, North Africa. But Jay's another guy that challenges me in a good way, inspires me in a great way. So I've been blessed just to have so many people. I know I've missed some people, and I don't mean to. Oh, behind me, I don't know if you can see the jersey behind me. That's perhaps one of my greatest mentors in chiropractic, and that belonged to Andy Roberts. Andy Roberts for me was not only a dear friend, and I met him because of Sean Dill, but Andy became not only a dear friend, but an incredible mentor. He challenged me to think critically. He challenged me to study really hard. And I became quite good friends with him. And because of my friendship with him, his wife was gracious enough to send me, upon his passing, his jersey. And you can see his hat's made in the background. And I actually have pictures of Andy. I don't know if you can see them behind me, but they're in my exam area. And I have pictures of Andy there because Andy was impeccable. He insisted on impeccability in everything he did chiropractic. So Andy's photographs are there to remind me when I'm doing an exam and a consultation to be impeccable in how I do that. He was a big believer in mastery over mediocrity. So that's a list of some. I know there's more. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Eddie Cordero and Neil Cohen. I knew them before they became big with Sherman. But they've inspired me, and they've mentored me in the way that they do things. So I've just been blessed with a ton of great people in my life chiropractically.
And I hope this inspires people that are listening to do one of two things. One is to seek out a mentor. Seek out, you know, those that you can learn more from, whether the philosophy, science, art, or even how living your life. You know, none of us have all the answers. And you're a product of who you rub elbows with. And mentor doesn't necessarily mean a paid mentor, but there are those that value in that area too. But that's vital for growth. And then the other thing is that I'm hoping people will pick up is mentoring someone else. And so much more so you can give. You always have something to give, and you always gain when you give. I mean, and one of the things about Andy we'll mention, every time I was around him, I felt like he was there to give something to me, you know, and he had that air about him that he was not in a way of I'm better than you by any means, something like that, but just he always had a giving spirit.
Yeah. And he was, and you know, that his way of doing things could be looked at as arrogant, and he was not arrogant. He was just really certain, and he had this enormous desire to impart his certainty on other people.
Right.
I mean, was he a pain in the backside? You bet he was. He was a pain like nobody else was. But he did that with such a loving way. And there was never a time spent with Andy where ideas weren't exchanged and growth happened. It always happened with Andy. He insisted on having people grow in their convictions. And not just in chiropractic. He was really big into spirituality, too. And so he was always challenging people to make them closer to the people that they were intended to be.
Right. And now, shifting gears a little bit, you're highly involved with the IFCO.
I am.
You're the president of the IFCO, which makes you pretty involved. I've been a member of the IFCO for quite a long time, as you have. I was a member as a student when I was in school, the FSCO, precursor. Yeah. And when I remember fondly, very fondly, going to the FSCO triune programs and back in the day, long time ago. In fact, I learned recently that Monique Andrews, who's a friend of yours, one of the others, I learned recently that she used to go to the triune programs. So we probably both there as students at that time. So talk a little bit about why the IFCO is important.
Yeah. And so we'll back up this for a second. The fact that you and Monique were there at the same time, not by chance.
Right.
Not by chance. So I'll tell you how I got involved in the IFCO. I was at CalJAM one year, and I was friends with Eric Plasker, and he was telling me about this new president coming to Life West, this guy named Brian Kelly. And he said, I want you to reach out to him and make him feel at home because I'm right across the bay from Life West. My office is right across the bay from Life West. So I'm 20 minutes away. And so I met Brian Kelly, and Brian Kelly and I hit it off. We became pretty good friends. In fact, I'd say we've become really good friends. And we became each other's confidants, and we shared things with each other, and we helped each other to get into different things. But when Brian Kelly came and he had this crazy idea about doing this thing at Life West called The Wave, he invited a lot of people to come speak. And one of the people that came to speak, who I had known a little bit about through social media, was this guy named Liam Schubel. And so Liam Schubel shows up with The Wave, and we connect, and we enjoy each other's company a lot. And I said to him, I said, Liam, you seem to be quite accomplished. And of course, he'll tell you all about that. If you give him a minute, he'll tell you exactly how accomplished he is. But he said, I said, where do you think I could make a contribution into this profession? And he said, are you a member of the IFCO? And I said, no. He says, that's the first thing you do. So the first thing I did is I became a member of the IFCO. And I was interested in what they're doing, because what they were doing was so different than what any other organization that I had been exposed to was doing.
And well, certainly, hold on 1 second, because this is an example of what we've been talking about. Like, you can say something small like that when you have the opportunity that might make a huge impact. Like, you know, that makes a huge impact. He did not know when he told you that you'd be the future president of the organization.
No, and if he did, he probably wouldn't have told me. But that's another issue altogether. So he said, you know, become a member and get involved, whatever you can. And so I became a member, and I started to realize that the people who were in IFCO had a different perspective of chiropractic and what its potential is. And it was boiled down to very simple things, and that is, we chiropractors are the only doctors who are highly trained in the location, the analysis, and I say assisting the body to correct verbal subluxations, because you and I know that we don't correct them. The innate intelligence does. We put a universal force in the body. The body's intelligence takes it and makes the correction. But I saw that, and I said, that's a unique perspective that I have not really owned. And so I began to do a lot of reading. And as you know, as the universe would have it, this reading was then reinforced by my meeting with Sean Dill and Andy Roberts and their vast understanding of the philosophy and principle of chiropractic. And in fact, Sean and I subsequently developed a philosophy group in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we brought in great speakers to talk specifically about the philosophy. We would assign them readings from Stevenson, and they would come and teach us, the people who were in the room, about that section of the book of Stevenson's. But he said, you know, this is where you start. And so I started, and I was a member. And then he said to me at some point, after he got to know me a little bit better, he said, you know, I think you should become a board member. And I said, let's consider that. And so he nominated me for a board. And what I appreciated most about the board is that they scrutinized their potential board members. It wasn't just someone who was available, warm body, put him in. I received calls from Bill Deccan. I received calls from Greg Stetzel, who has some concerns about what I stood for and who I was and what I was looking for in the IFCO. And fortunately, I must have said the right things, because the next thing you know, I'm on the board. And so I served on the board for a while. And at the time, Shane Walker was the president of the IFCO, and Shane had already served a term. He's in, I think, his second term, and he was opening a clinic, and he didn't have a lot of time. And so he said, I'm going to give up my presidency. Would you be willing to maybe be considered for it? And I said, I would love to. And so at a board meeting, Shane actually stepped down, and I was made the president. And
well, so I'll tell you another part of non-coincidence or synchronicity is that at a try-in seminar, FSCO, later the IFCO, is when I first met Shane Walker.
Yeah.
Because he was at a program and considering transferring, and a whole bunch of us Sherman students kind of ganged up on him and say, you're transferring to Sherman or going to Sherman or whatever it was at the time. It might have been he was in prereqs and deciding where to go. I can't recall. And then look, he became a president. So it realized that, you know, that nobody comes into your life by mere coincidence.
Not by mere coincidence, for sure. And in fact, Shane has a daily affirmation that he says that I also have. I stole his. He gave me permission to steal it. So I have an operation. So it's funny how things kind of work together and things unfold just as they should, like in what the Desiderata says. The world is unfolding as it should. And I think that even during this crazy times that we're experiencing with this pandemic, things are unfolding as they should. I think right. that things are going to happen. I'm not encouraged by the politics that we have and the special interest. But I believe in a bigger, higher power who is going to be orchestrating how we ultimately live our lives. And I think the universe will unfold. I think we'll see ourselves, I hope, on the better end of this mess.
Well, I'll tell you, what you said is very profound. And let's bring this back to Chiropractic Philosophy 101, as Andy Roberts yep. would want us to, which is this. And this may not be an ACP or diplomat level interpretation of the major premise. My personal take on that is I think of the major premise that there's universal intelligence coordinating all matter and keeping in existence. When I think of that, I boil that down to two words, and which are trust life. That life will find a way, that we trust life and what's going on in the world, I have to be in trust, not in fear. I think that's a major principle in chiropractic. We're helping people learn to trust their bodies and trust the healing process and not be in fear of their body.
Yeah.
And rather than fear disease, that we trust healing and repair and that your body is smart.
Yeah.
And that's a foundational yeah. thing that is really challenged as a chiropractor right now through 2020 is there's a lot of not trusting life going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And when we don't know, then we go into this mistrust mode. And mm-hmm. and so what we need to do is we need to know, right? We need right. to ask questions. We need to surround ourselves with people who can help us. And there's a lot of discussion about universal intelligence. Is it God? Is it not God? And the truth is it is. I'll never forget one day I was sitting on a panel Mile High. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about innate intelligence and what about it? And so we the panelists were answering some questions. And then in the audience was this guy, a French guy named Arnaud Bernier, who simply said, innate intelligence just is. It just is. Whether we like it or not, it just is. It's going to do what it has to do because it has this intelligence that it gains from the universe. And it's animated within our bodies, and it's what keeps us going and what allows us to become who we're supposed to become.
Right.
So you've got to trust. And guess what? Even if you don't trust, it's still going to happen.
Right.
Whether you trust or not, it right. just is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the IFCO. Oh, go ahead.
And that's what the IFCO is about, though.
Yeah. So the IFCO is the only purpose that we have for the IFCO is to assure that chiropractors who want to practice the practice surrounded by vertebral subluxation and assisting the body to get rid of it can do so. And also that patients who want to receive that type of care can receive that type of care. And that's all we do. We're not the police. We're not the universal police. We're not anything but a group of like-minded people who believe in the traditional components of chiropractic and what that means in terms of life experiences. And are we able to assist other people in reaching their optimal potential? And that's what we do. That's all we do. If you want to do something else, then there's other organizations you can join. But as a foundation, you should still be a member of the IFCO.
Right. And I will tell you, I'm a big proponent of the IFCO and supporting it as I've been a member and rallied
Thank
people to
you.
Join for many, many years. Even as I said, a student, early on student, my dad was a board member of the IFCO when I went to school.
Yeah.
I remember that and being at meetings and events as a teen. So, that were the FSCO yeah. at that point. And so, with that, it is vital to understand and know that the IFCO is the only international organization focused on that a chiropractor continues to be able to see a person solely for the location, analysis, correction of subluxation. And that is what is of concern, is that we lose that as a future chiropractic. Yes, there's other people that want to expand scope or add things and so on. My concern is less of that, but if we lose the ability to adjust subluxation as a separate, distinct art, that will be a very bad day for humanity.
I agree. And that's in the absence of symptoms.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's not a symptom. We're not a symptoms-driven profession. I think that because what we do affects the body in a positive manner, things improve. And so now we think, well, this is just like Dee Dee, right? When Dee Dee adjusted Harvey Lillard and, you know, he racked on that bone and thought he had a cure for deafness. But in fact, no, he didn't. He just somehow improved that person's physiology so that their hearing was restored. But we don't take credit for those types of things. We just do our job. Our job is to be really, really good at listening to people, finding out where they're coming from, helping them to see what it is that we do and how we do it, and then being really, really good at the analysis, because that is the most important thing. In fact, I tell people in my office that they're paying me for the analysis and that the adjustments are free, because there are some times when people come to my office and I do the analysis and I determine they don't need to be adjusted that day. In fact, my adjusting them would be a detriment to their well-being. And so I tell them up front, I said, you know, the great thing about my office is that you'll come in here and there will be some times that you may not need to be adjusted. You may not be, but you will know that I have done a very thorough analysis to determine if you need to be adjusted or not. And when you are need, when you do have a need to be adjusted, I'll do the best I can to be as specific as I can, because I want to adjust as few segments as possible, because we know that you can over adjust people and that can actually cause a detriment to them instead of an enhancement to them.
And that's
what I tell people in my office.
That's an expression of trusting
life.
That's an expression of trusting life. It's
totally
an expression of trusting that what's going on with the body, even though it may or may not be pretty, may or may not be painful, may or may not be whatever, is the person's nerve system coordinating appropriately? And if not, can I apply some force in some way that will upstep the body's organization? And if I can, I will. And if I can't, or it's not appropriate, then I don't need to.
Correct. Totally right. Totally right. And you never know what's going to happen, right? You never know. Because some people come to it and they don't tell you about certain challenges they might be experiencing. But after you've adjusted them for a while and you've checked their spines, you're making sure their body's working optimally, they'll ask you things like, I had this one guy who came in, great guy, worked for the garbage company. So he's driving trucks and handling, you know, heavy things. And he came to me as a new patient. And so he came in and I did my analysis and I adjusted him. And then his wife came in on a subsequent visit. And she said to me, you know, Bob was his name. Bob's been coming to you now for a little bit. Is it possible that what you're doing could be improving his sexual function? And I said, well, it's possible. She says, well, could you keep doing that then? Because whatever you're doing is really working. Now, he didn't tell me these things, and I didn't, you know, I'm not going to dig into that. But here is something that when you think you're working at 100%, all of a sudden your body changes and you're 100%, a different 100%. It's a higher level of performance. And that's what we really do. We really are seeking to improve people's performance, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual.
Yes. Well, yeah. I want to thank you for all that you've contributed and continue to contribute to chiropractic. And there's much to do. There's much for all of us to do. And, you know, more hands make more impact and make the load lighter as well. So yeah. I want to encourage people to get involved, whatever way you can get involved. And one of those ways is most certainly become a member of the IFCO, maybe step up into a leadership role or aspire to do that. And do that in other organizations as well, whichever one you feel called to. But truly, that's necessary. And that it's not just the, you that's on the line. It's the future of humanity that's on the line, and how chiropractic can contribute to their life. So, and I'll tell you, it's really inspiring to hear some of this that you shared, because as you know, Mile High 2021, we're focusing on the art of chiropractic. Everything's going to be about the art of chiropractic. It's not something we've ever done before. And I'm really inspired to do this, because I feel like there's a lot of things about the art of chiropractic that aren't taught in chiropractic school. We'll just say it that way. We're improperly taught. Sure. I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I think the more we can do to inspire people to become better at their art, at their philosophy, and at their science, that we will have done our part in assuring that chiropractic that is based around the vertebral subluxation will be propagated. I am concerned that many of the schools have not been teaching that like they should. But those schools who do, I would invite everybody to support them in
yes.
whatever fashion that might be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so again,
awesome.
How do people learn more about the IFCO?
Website, ifcochiro.org, ifcochiro.org. You can shoot me a note if you want, send me a messenger on a Facebook messenger, or if you want to send me an email, you can. My email is Dr. Jack Borla, so it's drjackborla at gmail.com. Shoot me a note or get on our website, and we have the most unbelievable administrative director working with us, Jen Steinberg. And so if you have any questions, you can contact her. She knows everything that needs to be known. She's brilliant. She's action-oriented, and she'll take care of you and even point you in the right direction if she feels that someone else can answer the question better than she.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much, again, Jack, for all that you do for chiropractic and, you know, and for mentoring people. As I know, you know, just having this conversation, I feel mentored to a degree, you know, and that is such a vital thing in chiropractic today. And one of the resources of the IFCO is just being around people that can help you, you know, grow as a chiropractor. And help Mile High is that for people as well. That's my intention as well, is that it helps people that are in the direction of focusing on our principles and values, foundational principles and values, can grow in terms of better serving their community and grow as a human being and as a chiropractor. So, I want to thank you. Awesome. Is any last thing you'd like to share with the Mile High audience?
No, I just would encourage you to get to Mile High, get to all these, gatherings where we like-minded people can help each other grow. I think it's important to seek a mentor, and I think it's equally important to seek to mentor somebody. And you do that through these relationships that you'll gain by going to these different conferences, where you will find people who you may know on Facebook two-dimensionally, but you've never seen their three-dimensional bodies. And so it'd be good to get out to these things and meet them and hug them. It's going to improve the way that we serve humanity. And that could be because we are with like-minded people who will encourage us and challenge us and inspire us to become better at what we do.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jack. Thank you for leading the IFCO as its president and contributing so many different ways to chiropractic. And thank you everybody for listening, watching the Mile High podcast, wherever you're watching or listening it. And make sure you hit subscribe to you. Never miss any Mile High tick. And you also make sure you decide to and commit to rising up to Mile High altitude in June. Mile High comes early this year. And we look forward to seeing you there. You can find more details at milehighchiroregistration.com. And it's going to be a really exciting experience this year. And, as we said, keep listening to Mile High tick. You'll have new podcast episodes every week. And keep changing spines and lives and minds with chiropractic. Thank you, Dr. Borla.
Thank you, Danny. Look forward to seeing you soon.